Amen. Thank you, guys. That was a blessing. It's good to be here with you. And I appreciate so much this ministry and the friendship that the Lord has allowed me to develop and hold with Brother Beal. And, of course, Dr. Spencer, who is the Bishop of North and South Carolina. And I've greatly benefited from Dr. Spencer's ministry as an interim pastor at our church, and he's been a friend and a mentor to me, and genuinely has demonstrated a loving spirit and concern for me that I really appreciate, and I'm thankful to God for it, and I'm thankful for the ministry that God has allowed him to be a part of in helping churches in these days in which we live. I'd like for you to go with me into the book of Psalms and find, if you would please, Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Once you find that, we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read through the psalm. And so let's read it. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you and we thank you that we can come together as your people. As we come together, we understand that you are in our midst. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would empower me as your messenger in this moment to communicate the truth of your word. And I pray that you would reveal it to the hearers, that we might not simply be hearers, but that we might be doers of the Word of God, that we might be strengthened in the inner man, that we might be conformed to the image of our Savior. We ask this in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Bible says here in verse number 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God." I want to speak to you this morning on that subject, the glory of God. And that is the subject that I approach with you, knowing full well that it is beyond my ability to describe it, to define it in any way. It is a subject that I think we will spend eternity learning and delighting in. the glory of God. But the Bible tells us here that the heavens declare the glory of God. And we find here in this passage in Psalm 19 three specific ways in which the glory of God is revealed to us. And that is what I want us to note together this morning. And I'd like for you to look again with me in verses 1 through 6 with this idea in mind, the declaration of the skies. You see, the glory of God is spoken to us, it is communicated to us, it is seen in the declaration of the skies. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. This is a psalm of David. David was the shepherd boy who became a soldier and then became the sovereign of Israel, the king. And that shepherd boy spent many nights on the hillsides of Judea with the sheep, looking up into the night sky. As a soldier fighting the battles, he spent many nights under the canopy of the stars, noticing the night sky, seeing it rise, the sun rise in the morning and run its course throughout the day until it set in the evening hours, and the beauty of that sunset was displayed throughout the sky as the sovereign king on the run from a rebellious son. He spent some nights under that sky, some days journeying, fearing, fleeing for his life. And when he thinks about what God has revealed to him in the sky, this is his statement: the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. As we read in verse number 2, we note the word speech in verse number 2. We also note the word knowledge. Again, in verse number 3, we find the word speech. We also find the word language, and we find the word voice. In verse number 4, we find the word line, and we find the word words. What we find is that the heavens speak to us. The heavens communicate to us. Have you ever thought about what an amazing thing it is that the Creator God of the universe has spoken to us? That He didn't leave you and I here to grope in the darkness and try to figure this thing out on our own. Aren't you glad? But He spoke to us. And He reveals to all of humanity, all of humanity, that He is a glorious God. And He reveals it in His creation. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. And Paul is writing here, making his case concerning the condition of all humanity, that all have sinned. He will conclude with that statement in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As he begins to lay out his case in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18, he is proving the guilt of humanity in their sin against God. In verse number 18, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Here we find in verse number 19 that all of humanity, every man, every woman who has ever lived, has a twofold witness that there is a God. He begins with the first witness, and that is the witness within. He says in verse 19, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. That is the witness of the conscience. The witness of the conscience. You can travel throughout the world. You can
Go to the remote areas of the world and you will find tribes and you will find people who understand at least that there is a God. The form of worship and the method that they employ to be made right and just in His sight may be wrong and is in all cases outside of Jesus wrong. But we find that they do know in their heart, in their conscience, that there is a living God. And they know the difference between right and wrong. That is a gift that God has given to us, the gift of conscience. Not only do we see here in verse number 19 that there is a witness within, but we also see, the Bible says in verse number 20, that there is a witness without. And that is the witness that the psalmist is speaking of in Psalm 19. For he said, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they," that is, those who are in the world, "are without excuse." In other words, they cannot say that they did not know there was a God, because God said they knew it. And they knew it because of two things: the witness within, the conscience; the witness without, creation, what God has made. And this is what the psalmist is testifying of in Psalm 19 when he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." It's a divine show and tell that is taking place here. We see that this is a daily declaration. Notice in verse number 2, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." Every day God is speaking. He's speaking to a lost world. He is revealing to a lost world His glory, day by day. Not only do we see that it is a daily declaration, but we see that it is a universal declaration. Notice in verse number 4, "For there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Travel wherever you wish to travel, be among any people group that you wish to be among. Wherever there is a language that is spoken, we understand that the skies are speaking and they are testifying of the glory of God. In verse number 4, "Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." It doesn't matter where you go, God is testifying of His glory through the act of creation. When Job was suffering and his friends came to comfort him, they did anything but comfort him. They tried to find the reason for his suffering, and they prescribed all of his sin and talked to him about the need to repent so that God would restore him and bring him back to ease and comfort. In the midst of all that noise, there came a voice. It was the voice of God. And all the speaking became silent when God said, "Where were you? Where were you when I said, 'Let there be light'? Where were you when I spoke these things into existence?" And Job said, "I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." You see, he got a glimpse of the glory of God. Isaiah the prophet said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips.'" You see, the skies declare the glory of God. How many days do we just take it all for granted? God is glorified.
through the declaration of the skies. Here's the second thing I want you to note, and that is God is glorified through the revelation of the Scriptures. Notice in verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You see, here we have reference in these verses to the Scripture, to the Word of God. And whereas the declaration of the skies is general in nature, testifying to all men of the greatness and majesty of God who fashioned them and the world around them, the revelation of the Scripture is specific in nature, revealing the Word of not Elohim, the Creator, but the Word of Jehovah God, the covenant-keeping God, the personal God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who reveals Himself personally to His people, and He gives them His Word. I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Would you please? Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, Moses is speaking to the generation that is going into the land, and he is reminding them again of the law of God, the law which will guide their steps throughout their lives. They are to live by the book. The Bible says there in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did to Baal-peor, for all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them." Notice please in verse 6, "For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" In other words, Moses is saying to the people, what people is there on the face of the earth that knows the true and the living God like this people? There is no other people. What people on the face of this earth has the truth of the Word of God like this people possesses? There is no other people. God has spoken through His Word. And when the nations of the world, when the Canaanites and the Egyptians and the Babylonians and everybody looks at what's going on in Israel, and they find out who the true and the living God is, and they find out what He has said, and when He unveils His plan and His purpose in this world, they're going to say, there's no God like that, there's no people like that, and there's no book like that. And we look at this book, and we say, the glory of God is revealed in this book. The glory of God is seen in this book. Notice what he says in verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." I go back to Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse number 14, when he said to him,
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that's complete, that is mature, truly furnished, meaning we have everything we need unto all good works. Where's our source? It's the Bible. It's the Scripture. It is the Word of God. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. He said, the testimony of the Lord is sure. That means it is settled, it is steadfast, making wise the simple. Do you know we're all simple people? And the only way that we can gain wisdom and possess it and keep it and practice it, exercise it, is as we walk in the truth of God's Word. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The statutes of the Lord, verse 8, are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. What gives us light in this dark world? It's the Bible. Men and women who grope in darkness, the Bible says they don't know what they're stumbling over. But the path of the just is the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What is the light that God gives us? It is the light of the Scripture that enlightens the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. If Brother Bill said to you out in the soccer field, you're going to find a wedge of gold, I imagine that you boys would run and get your shovels and start digging. I bet you girls would do the same. There's a wedge of gold out on the soccer field. I want to tell you there's more than that in this book. How much digging are we doing? You say, well, I'm in Bible college. Oh, I know. I've been there. How much digging are we doing? I'm in ministry. Oh, I know. I've been there. How much digging are we doing? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. That's the price. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. There's nothing as sweet, there's nothing as pleasant as when God speaks to us through His Word. And He is glorified in it. You see, we see the glory of God in the declaration of the skies. We see the glory of God in the revelation of the Scriptures. But let me give you the third and final thing, and I'll close here. We see the glory of God in the transformation of the soul. The Bible tells us here in verse number 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. Excuse me. Do you know that I believe among the greatest things that God does is He transforms the soul of a man? There's a fellow in the Bible who was a wild man. He was a demon-possessed man. He wouldn't keep his clothes on. He lived in the tombs, out in the graveyard. Creepy kind of guy. Scary kind of guy. Socially unacceptable. They tried everything they could to help him. I imagine prescriptions, psychological consultations, therapy, counseling, even chains. And nothing helped him until he met Jesus. Everybody was afraid of this guy. Everybody knew this guy. He was the madman. He was the maniac. But then he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, everything changed. He put some clothes on. He went back home to his family. You see, he became what David was, a servant. You see, no longer was he a sinner in rebellion. He was a servant in submission. You remember what he said to Jesus? Let me go with you. I mean, I want to go with you. Can you blame him? Look at what Jesus did for him. He said, I want to go with you. And the Lord Jesus said, no, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home, and I want you to tell everybody you meet what God has done for you. And that's what he did. And people looked at him, and they said, what happened? That's the crazy, creepy, naked guy that wreaked havoc in the town. What happened to him? Oh, he met Jesus. You mean Dr. So-and-so couldn't help him? The prison couldn't incarcerate him? The educational programs of our town couldn't help him? What helped him? Jesus. You see, that soul that was dark, that soul that was empty, that eventually was filled with a multitude of demonic beings, was transformed by the glory of God. And when people saw him, they said, this is amazing. Only God could do this. Only God could do this. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1, would you please? The Bible tells us that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God created this universe. And the Bible tells us that this earth was without form. It was without shape. It was void. It was empty. It was chaos. It was without order. And there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Bible tells us the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God brought life into this world of darkness and woe. And when God saw you, can I tell you how he found you? The same way, without form and void and in darkness. The Bible tells us in the gospel according to John, I invite you to turn there with me, the gospel according to John. In chapter number 1. The Bible tells us there that in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the source of life. And when he revealed himself to us, in the midst of our emptiness, in the midst of our vanity, in the midst of our darkness, came light. And with that light came the life of God into the soul of man. And God is glorified by that. I want you to go back to our psalm in Psalm 19. We're talking about the transformation of the soul. Not only are we speaking about the transformation that takes place the moment we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, but we're talking about the transformation that continues to take place in our lives as we are conformed to the image of His Son. That's His purpose for our lives. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, Paul's desire and his prayer for the people was that Christ be formed in them. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that the purpose of the preaching of the word and the ministry of God's word is that the church would grow under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. You see, there is a process of transformation that takes place throughout the course of our days to conform us into the image of His Son. Because you and I still drag this thing called the flesh around, don't we? And the Bible says the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And so how do we live with that battle, and how do we thrive as believers? It's as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, as we let the light come in to our dark souls. We notice here the process by which this transformation comes. Notice it in verse number 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, as the word of God and the Holy Spirit of God work together in my life to speak to me. I am warned. I'm warned. That is the ministry of conviction. I am convicted by the Holy Spirit. I am convicted by the Word of God. I'm warned. There's the conviction of sin. But not only is there the conviction, thank God for the conviction, but even thank God more for the cleansing. Aren't you glad you don't have to carry that guilt around with you all the time? Notice what the Bible says. He said, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? In other words, we're so deceitful. Our hearts are so deceitful and desperately wicked. There is sin in us that we don't even yet fully comprehend. And God will allow you to learn and grow and experience some difficulties in life. And in those, He will reveal to you your own sin. And He says here in verse number 12, cleanse thou me from secret faults. There is the conviction of sin and there is the cleansing from sin. I'm glad that I can be clean through the blood of Jesus. Boy, sin defiles you, doesn't it? It dirties you. You ever been a part of a conversation you wish you hadn't been a part of? Hearing somebody criticize and tear down someone? Or maybe somebody say something inappropriate and wicked and sinful. Something immoral. It defiles you. It makes you dirty. You sense it, don't you? You know when you're dirty. And you want to be made clean. I'm glad that Jesus, through His blood, can make me clean. I'm glad He can remove every spot and every stain. And the Bible says, the prayer here, the psalmist says, would you cleanse me, dear God, from these secret faults? There is the conviction of sin and the cleansing from sin. And then we see the constraint of sin. The Bible says in verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Here's what He's saying. He's saying, keep me from sin. Keep me from sin. The model prayer that the Lord Jesus gave to us, He says, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. In other words, hold me back. You know as well as I do that in your heart and in my heart is a propensity and a desire to walk in the paths of sin. And the psalmist acknowledges that here in this prayer, and he says to God, I'm asking you, O God, to keep me from doing the thing that I should not do. You remember what Paul said? He said, the thing that I don't want to do, I do it. and the thing that I should do, I don't. If Paul had that problem, we can certainly admit that we have it. And so he's dependent here upon the constraining power of God to keep him from these presumptuous sins. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I read a book about the Sunday school written by Peter Masters more than 20 years ago. He's the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. And he was talking about the ministry of the Sunday school and its impact in the lives of young people as it was evidenced years later. And in that book, he lamented the fact that there were leaders in Great Britain in that day who had no problem departing from the biblical convictions and morals that the previous generation had held to. And he went on to illustrate that that generation of leadership had not been taught and instructed in the Sunday schools of Great Britain. And from that analysis and that illustration, he made this point, that when we fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God, there is a keeping power in that Word that speaks to us in the moment of temptation and says, don't do it. There are things that the previous generation of leaders in our nation and in Great Britain and around the world are doing that they would have never done generations ago because they had a fear of God and a knowledge of His Word. But today, that doesn't seem to be the case. I don't think you have to look far to find the illustration. And he was talking about the protecting, keeping power of the Word of God. Listen, you need to stay in your Bible. You want to have victory over sin. You need to stay in the Word and let the Word stay in you. See, this transformation occurs through the conviction of sin, the cleansing of sin, the constraint of sin, and then the correction. Notice verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Do you know that you can sit in the pew at Ambassador Baptist College Chapel, dressed the right way, carrying the right books, doing the right things, and have wicked attitudes that are as dirty and defiled as the maniac of Gadara? How is it that the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth can become acceptable? You know the things we say about somebody that we want to criticize? Or the judgments that we make against people in our self-righteousness? Or the complaints and the murmuring that we lodge against those in leadership and authority? He said, I don't want that in my life. I want the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight. And when it is, you can look at the skies and you can see the glory of God. You can look into the scriptures and you can see the glory of God. But you can look into the regenerate soul of someone conformed to the image of Christ and you will see the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to bring glory and honor to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.